Bless you guys. It's good to be with you this morning at the start of 2014. It's going to be a good year. Puts me in mind of a song. I've got a feeling this year's going to be a good year. This year's going to be a good year. I don't know why, but you know, sometimes you just get a feeling, don't you? And it's a stirring in your heart that's going to be good. And I have a strong stir in my heart that this is going to be a good year. A good year. And yeah, it's a fantastic time to be alive as a Christian, really. It's a phenomenal time to be alive. God is doing some amazing things. For those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, God is doing amazing things in our day. Things that people 50 or 60 years ago would have longed to have heard about and seen, God is doing today, not just in one place, but all over the world. And we get to hear and we get to taste and see it. And he's doing it here in England too. Phenomenal things. Yeah, I'm really encouraged. And you know, some of the things that I'm encouraged about may surprise you. You know, I'm encouraged by the Pope. Yes. Come on, yeah. We're all encouraged by the Pope, aren't we? For so long, you know, actually, there's been issues and it's been hard. And you think, what's going on? But actually, this Pope has come in and he's a man of God, and he's really shaking things up. And you know, I love the way that he refuses to have the Pope mobile. I love the way that he washed his servant's feet. I love the way that he's addressing the issues that are being raised. I love the way that he's seeking to hear from the ordinary Catholics and getting feedback from his 2 billion followers. You know, he really is doing great things to shift the atmosphere over our nation. And, you know, attendance in some of the Catholic cathedrals and some of the bigger churches is up 20%. Wow. That's a thing to rejoice about. Wow. Our brothers and sisters are doing well. Fantastic. You know, and I'm also excited about the Archbishop of Canterbury. You know, I think he's really doing well. You know, he's not lost in an ivory tower discussing theology, but he's really grappling with the issues of today and seeking to represent the church well. I love the fact he's attacked payday loans. I mean, that's usury. You know, it's sad that people have to feel that they have to borrow money, but it's bad enough having to borrow money. But when you have to borrow money at the kind of rates that they charge, it's wrong. No one should have that heavy burden laid on them. So it's good that he wants the church to put them out of business. That's fantastic. Come on, church, let's lend some money. You know, fantastic. So but that's just not all. God is doing so much all around. It's going to be a good year. And, you know, I was wrestling with what to speak to you guys, and I had an idea. I thought I was going to speak on something. And then the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, last night, and gave me something else to say. So I thought I'd better say what he laid on my heart to say in the middle of the night. So it's good to do what God asked you to do. And he gave me a promise for you, and I think it's for all of us, actually. But I want to speak it over you prophetically this morning, because, our words are power. So I'm going to get you to speak it out as well, to prophesy it to yourself and to your neighbor. But if you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 37. I'm rather intrigued by these paintings, actually. You know, I'd like to hear what the story is behind these paintings, if the painters would like to come up and share it with us at some point. That would be good. And I love the way you led us in worship this morning, guys. Thank you very much. It's good. Good way to start the year. Right, Psalm 37. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I love that. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And as I said, the Lord woke me in the middle of the night last night, and he just gave me that verse, which verse 4, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sounds a good deal to me. It's a win-win, isn't it? It's a win-win. I don't see what the cost is for us in this. I mean, to delight myself in the Lord is the best thing. The God who is love, to delight myself in love is just phenomenal. That brings joy to my heart. And then he says, delight yourself in me, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Anybody want the desires of their heart met this year? Yeah? Come on. I want my, yeah, come on, let's not be ashamed about it. Let's say, yeah, actually, yeah, I've got some deep desires I want to see. He says, delight yourself in the Lord and you will see. You will receive the desires of your heart. And that promise is for you and it's for me. It's 2014. You know, and we have a prophetic statement sitting there by the video desk. Jay, sorry, you're a prophetic statement to us this morning. Shay, you are as well, of course, but you know, by proxy. You have hand in it. But you know, you are a prophetic statement to us. And you know, we've prayed many times together over a few years. And now you carry the desire of your heart. And that's a visible sign for you guys that this is the year. This is a year where God is giving us our heart's desires. And you know, scripture is obviously for all time and for all seasons. And but there are seasons within the seasons. And you know, there are seasons when a truth comes to the fore. And I just think this is a season when this truth is coming to the fore. And you know, I've lived. I'm so grateful to God. I live in a blessed life. I live a life where I seem to get my heart's desire. Yeah, that is phenomenal. So I love this verse. It always jumps out at me when I read the scripture. One of my favorite verses in scripture. Yeah. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, I've seen it again and again and again. You know, when we were struggling to conceive, and I was praying, and you know, we had all kinds of people praying for us. We had one lady turn up at 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning before school one day, and with a red rose, and got us to kneel on our kitchen floor to pray. And then we had guys telling me I should wear boxer shorts because that will help. It's amazing what people come up and feel free to share with you when they know you want a child. Oh dear. And then I remember going to a pioneer leaders conference and going up. Someone did a call from the front and they called us up to the board and get prayed for. And then they shoved the camera, TV camera in our face. I thought, oh no. My wife was weeping. You know, and then we get to that. We went to work in America, and then we come back from America for a friend's wedding, Paul and Anthea from Marlowe. We come back for their wedding. And then at the meeting on that Sunday, three ladies come up to us and prophesy, God is going to give you your heart's desire. And within 2 weeks, Sadie fell pregnant. And you've heard me tell that story before, probably, but you know, that's amazing. That's amazing. That was our heart's desire, and God gave it to us. And now Rachel is 15 years old and she's going off to India next year for a month. Amazing. And then as a young Christian, I remember driving from Maidenhead to work in Slough and thinking, oh, you know, why am I spending my time doing computer programming? You know, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be doing something more radical with my life. I really felt a strong call of God on me for the church. And I looked up to a guy called Roger Forster, and I loved his theology and his teaching. And I listened to it and I read it whenever I could. And as I was driving to work, I just said that I'd love to follow this guy around for a year just to pick up on his teaching, just to be discipled by him. And I thought, that's never going to happen. Because, you know, he's an apostle, you know, he's oversees thousands. He oversees many, many churches. And, you know, who am I that he spend any time with him? And yet, you know the story that God brought his son to work for me and with me. And I got to be discipled by him for a year and to drive him around and listen to him preach. God gives us our heart's desires. Even when we don't know how to make it happen, our Father finds a way. And then, you know, most of you that know me know I like walking in the hills. Whenever I can, you know, I love to get to the mountains. And if I can only get to the hills of England, that's fine. Because as soon as I enter the Lake District, or as soon as I enter Snowdonia, or as soon as I enter the western coast of Scotland, my soul just lifts just to see the hills. I love it. And I love getting out and getting my boots on and getting tired as I stagger up, getting my fingers and hands dirty as I clamber around the rocks. I love it. I feel really alive in the hills. And what does God do? It takes me to the Himalayas. And I get to spend a year in the Himalayas. Hallelujah. That's why my son's called John David Everest. Because he was born in Kathmandu. You know, but that's God fulfilling my heart's desire. You know, eight years before that, back in 1999, I went to Nepal for the first time. You know, actually, I didn't really go. I went on mission, but I didn't really go for the mission. I went to one because I wanted to see the mountains. Is that a bit naughty? Bit naughty. But, you know, God used it to get me out over there. And, you know, I was so ill. I was the illest I've ever been in my life. This is a public meeting, ladies present, so I won't tell you how ill I was, but it was really, really, really bad. I was in some embarrassing things with my body. And, you know, I thought I'd never go back. Just not for me. But God made a way. God made a way. And when I was doing my year studying under Roger Forster, there were three mission trips, one to Nepal, one to Norway, and one to France. And because I had no money at the time, I thought, oh, I'm going to go for France because that's the cheapest. Is that naughty? Is that bad? What a rubbish Christian. Where's my faith? So I signed up to France. And then when it came to the mission trips, they said, sorry, the French one's cancelled. You're the only person that wanted to do it. So I said, can I go on the Norway trip? And they said, no, it's full. I said, right. Lord, you got me. I have to go back to Nepal. You know, but that was a desire of my heart. And I got to go back to the mountains and I met some fantastic friends and we ended up living out there as a family, which is one of the most blessed years of our lives. One of the most, you know, I got to do ministry, got to minister to churches, saw revival come to churches, saw loads of churches planted, saw the Holy Spirit come on thousands of people, and got to trek in the Himalayas. God loves to give us a heart's desire. God loves to give you your heart's desire. You know, and then we got married. Obviously, we moved to Maidenhead. We got a slightly bigger house and a bigger dining room. And we had this little table from our kitchen. And I liked it, but it was far too small. You know, it looked stupid in our dining room. It was a tenth of the size of the room. And so I thought, I know, I want the same style of table, but I want one just a lot bigger. So I went and looked at the place we got it from over in West Wickham, furniture shop there. And the table cost... The table alone, without chairs, cost about £2,500 to £3,000. I can't remember exactly now. I thought, I'm not going to buy that. That's ridiculous. So I just said, right, forget that. Put that one away. But then, a few months later, leading a service in Maidenhead, afterwards, in our church newsletter, there was a note saying, table and chairs, 10 chairs for sale for £1,000. That might be interesting. So I'm going to have a look. Do you know, it was only... Do you know where it was? This table was at Windsor Castle. It's not bad, is it? So my wife went to look at it, and she met the one of the ladies who's married to the groom, the king's groomsman. And she took Rachel, and she said, "Does Rachel want to ride on the queen's horse?" So Rachel got to ride on the queen's horse, or sit on it anyway. And then they said, "Oh, look, this little horse here. That's going to be the queen's next favourite one, and we're looking to name it at the moment." And so Sadie named that horse. Sadie, they were looking for a name from Peter Pan, and Sadie suggested Tiger Lily. And she said, she phoned up a few days later. We suggested that we put your name to Her Majesty, and Her Majesty's accepted. And you know, we've seen it on the news now that the Queen rides around on Tiger Lily. Sadie, name that horse. Come on. But she gets into the barn where they're storing this table, because it's a conference room table, not the one the Queen sat at. But, you know, And it's only the exact manufacturer model that I was wanting for our dining room. The exact one. God loves to give us a heart's desire. And God is continually doing that. He does that for me this year. You know, last February, we had a couple of prophets come through as a leadership team from Arkansas and from Texas. And it was the most profound prophetic experience. God spoke and he was just like, that's amazing, to individuals and people's lives. He spoke really clearly and really accurately, really powerfully. And I thought, I'd love to go over and see those churches where those guys came from. I'd love to go and spend some time with them. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to make that happen. And as the year went by, I thought, I won't do it this year. And then a friend of mine, Billy Kennedy, who leads Pioneer, says, Colin, I'm going over to the church in Arkansas and Texas. Do you want to come with me? I didn't even ask my wife. I said, yes. I'm going. Because God loves to give me my heart's desires. My heart's desires. That's phenomenal. And then again, just so, when I became a Christian, I was living over in West London, and near Uxbridge, and I went to a church led by a guy called Michael Hastings, a black guy, and he was a fantastic guy. I loved him to bits, and he was really full of passion, full of fire, put an awful lot into me in my first year as a Christian. He's now a Lord, believe it or not, Lord Hastings. And I've just been thinking a lot about him recently, and I thought, oh, I'd just love to reconnect with him again, you know, but I've lost complete touch with him, really. And I'd just like to be able to see how he's doing and just reconnect. Got a text message the day after New Year's Day saying, I'm going to see Mike Hastings, and he's asked if you could come with me. Thank you, Jesus. God loves to give us a heart's desire. I tell you those stories. They're personal to me, but I just tell them because what God does for me, he's doing for you. I really want you to grab hold of that this year. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Come on. Say it to your neighbor. Say it to your neighbor now. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Come on, when you speak out, it's like prophecy. We're speaking out, we're releasing the power of heaven into one another's lives. We'll get a chance to pray and minister to each other at the end. So if we're going to, what is it? Okay, Colin, what does it mean? Let's just unpack it a little bit. What does it mean to delight ourselves in the Lord? Well, yeah, it does mean to leap about. Remember, I think I mentioned this earlier, verse 7, where it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know what that means, don't you? Because if you've read Bill Johnson's book, Hosting the Presence, you'll know that the Hebrew word used for wait patiently actually means to twirl about. even with the microphone. Twirl about. So yeah, it means that. But what can we learn about this from this Hebrew word? This Hebrew word, anag, doesn't sound very delight, does it? Anag. I prefer the word delight. But it's used in other places, and we're going to look at a couple. Turn to the end of Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah 55. Get there eventually. Going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, ho! I love that. It's a great way to start a chapter. Ho! Just going to make sure I'm going to wake people up now. Because if you've been falling asleep up to now, then you just wake up to hear this. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what's not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. So if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, one of the things to do is actually to listen to the Lord. If we're going to delight ourselves in God, one of the things we must surely do is listen to him. His words are full of love. They are full of affirmation. They are full of hope. They are full of inspiration. They are full of joy. They are full of life. Who wouldn't want to listen to him? Come on. It's the best voice we can listen to. And all too often we listen to the nag, not the anag. The enemy nags. He'll try and put us down, try and keep us down. But let's listen to the anag, the delightful voice. The one that says, I love you. I want to give you your heart's desire. I'm going to be strong. I am with you. You can do this. We can do it together. Let's listen to that voice. Not to the nag, but to the anag. That's why Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sometimes we're all the same. Sometimes we have difficult times when we're finding it tough to hear the voice of the Lord. And then when we do hear it, we don't understand it. His disciples had the same problem at times. You know, when we talked about the bread and the wine we had earlier, when Jesus first preached about that, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. They thought, what? What? Of course, they knew him at that point. They'd been with him. They knew he couldn't possibly mean what he said he meant, what he said. But I don't understand it. And those that hadn't been with him came and they heard that and they thought, this man's mad. And they left. Some got really offended. Let's not be those who get offended, even if we're struggling at the moment to hear the voice of the Lord or understand what he's saying to us. Let's not be those that take offense. But let's trust the Father and know he has the best in store for us. And that gets translated to the blood and the body of communion when we live on what he's done for us. It's a beautiful thing. And his disciples, they don't understand it, but they said, where else can we go? You alone have the words of life. Come on. So if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, let's take the space out to listen. To listen. You know, however that it works for you, wherever you listen for the Lord, if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord in 2014, it has to mean taking time out to listen. Because our religion is a relationship. It's not a set of rules. We can't learn it. We can't know it. Every morning it's different. Hallelujah. So we've got to listen. And whatever it takes for you, if it's on mountains, it's fantastic. If it's in the bath, great. If it's while walking the dog, lovely. If it's while shopping at Tesco's, fantastic. But wherever it is that you find that the Lord speaks to you in this year, go there. Go there as often as you can. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. For me, I love to get up in the morning early. For me, that's the best part of the day. I like staying up late as well. It's a really bad combination. But I love getting up early and that's the best part of the day for me. It's the morning as dawn comes up, you know, even before the dawn comes up, as the birds start to sing and the house is quiet. No chattering voices, no radios, no televisions, nothing to distract me. I just love to sit down with the Bible or a cup of tea and just dwell in God's word and pray as I read. For me, it's recalibration time. For me, it's setting myself in store to live well that day. And if I don't do it, I miss it. And if my kids get up too early and they interrupt it, I get a bit antsy. I still can't resist. I still give them both a cuddle. John and Emmy both get up earlier than the others. So I'm sat there in the morning, Emmy one side, John the other, and the dog jumps on my lap these days as well, so there's no room for my Bible, if that happens. But you know what I mean? I find that space. I just encourage us all. You know, in one sense, it's not new, but it's something that we just, let's do it again. Let's commit to it again. What else can we learn? Turn to Isaiah 58. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. Glory, come on. I love that. And feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. enjoy the Sabbath. You shall delight yourself. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. This is about taking time out to rest. And all rest is good. We all need we're not machines. You know, we're up and down. We all need rest. And we all need to play. And playing's great. But we also need rest to rest in the Lord. So some of you here this morning need to retake up a hobby because rest is good. Finding those moments actually when you can play and forget about other things, really important for your mind. I really encourage you, if you've put down a hobby and your life seems all work, take it up again. Find something to play with. But this is not talking about that kind of rest. This is talking about a rest in the Lord. This is about talking about the Sabbath. This is about talking about taking time out again just to be able to be with God. And if we do this, we'll delight ourselves in the Lord. It's a simple thing, isn't it? Simple thing. And yet so often with life, we can let things crowd that out. We can let things crowd out our times with God. We can say, I've got too much to do. I've got to go to work. Or any time my club meets is on Sunday morning. Whatever it is, we can find some kind of excuses. I'm not trying to put law on people here, but I'm just saying, actually, let's take time out to be with God, to rest with him. Then we delight ourselves in the Lord. You know, when the Sabbath was first mentioned, it's actually in relation to the manna. You know, the manna that fell in the desert looked like a white powder, like a frost, a fine frost. They gathered it up and made bread and cooked it and stuff. And when they looked at it, the Hebrews said, "What is it?" to each other. "What is it? What is it?" They didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it before. So that's what they called it in the end. What is it? Manna just means, what is it? It makes me laugh too. What is it? But they were told to collect it up every morning and not to keep it overnight. Because if they kept it overnight, then in the morning it had worms. It went rotten and fat and smelled bad. Apart from every sixth day or every seventh day, they were to collect twice as much as normal. And that night when they kept it over, no worms, no rotten smell. And God says to Moses, that's because it's my Sabbath day. I don't want you working on that day. I want you resting with me. I want you to honor that day. I took 7 days to make the whole universe. I want you to rest with me that day. Take time out. Don't let anything get in the way of resting with me. And yet some of them thought, no, I need to eat tomorrow. I need to eat today. So when they get up early on the Saturday, the Sabbath was a Saturday in those days, of course. So they get up early and go out looking for the what is it? Where is it? It wasn't there. So if they didn't collect two lots the night before, they went hungry that day. Because God was really seriously wanting to teach them a lesson of the importance of rest. And God says, if you do that, if you honor my Sabbath, if you rest with me, resist from doing your pleasure, resist from running after what you want to do, saying what you want to say, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. And then we'll ride on the high places. I love that because I love riding on the high places anyway, walking in the high places. But actually, that's a figurative thing. Riding on the high places is like living in victory. You want to live in victory? I want to live in victory. I want to live in the heights. And we do that when we take our time out to rest with God. That's more important than work. It's more important than play. It's more important than everything is to take those times to rest with the Lord. Delight ourselves with him. Come on. Come on. It's good news. It's good news. And then look at Isaiah 66. I'm going to read verse 10 to 13. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted, or anagd,
with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, and you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. I love that one, dandled on her knees. It's great. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So we've got listening to the Lord. We've got resting in the Lord. We've also got enjoying his presence, because Jerusalem was the signpost of God's presence, wasn't it? It's where the temple was. It's where God lived. Rejoice with the place where God lives. Rejoice with the place where God lives. That's what he's saying. Be glad about it. Love it. Of course, when you look at the New Testament, where does God live? He lives in here and in there and in there. He lives in his church. You know, all kinds of shapes and sizes, colors and creeds. He lives in his church. And it says, rejoice with his church. Rejoice in his presence. You know, that's one of the reasons I love our celebrations. I love Sunday mornings, and I love River Together, like next week, where there's a bigger, slightly bigger gathering. And I'm going to love Riverfest when it comes about in July this year, 4th to 6th. I hope you're all booking into it, because it's going to be fantastic. You know, when we go away together like that, as a family, it just builds family, it builds community like nothing else. That is good enough reason to do it on its own. That's a big enough win that's worth paying and investing in. I know it's expensive, so it's worth the investment of going. But on top of that, we also get to listen to guys like Darren Northrop, who's coming this time, and Carl Wills. Some, you know, world-class ministries are going to be investing into us, speaking, prophesying over us, teaching us. Fantastic. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Love the church. Love the place where he dwells. Love yourself. Rejoice with what God is doing around the world. Like I said at the beginning, rejoice in that. Rejoice with that. Rejoice with the Roman Catholics. Rejoice with the Anglicans. Rejoice. Church attendance is going up in this country for the first time in many, many years. Rejoice in that. Makes you want to dance. Makes me want to dance. It's fantastic. Let's enjoy God's presence. Because when we do that, peace and glory will flow into our lives like a river. Anybody want peace? More peace? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Claim that for yourself this morning. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. It's one of my favorite verses to proclaim at Christmas. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's true of the world, it's true for you, and it's true for me. Let's claim it as a promise from the Lord. Lord, I want that to be true about my life. I claim that promise. Of the increase of your government and peace, there will be no end in my life, in my home, in my family. Thank you. You know, and when we live like that, when we live that way, we're a channel. We're a channel of that peace and blessing into the lives of those around us. And when I think about these things, you know, when I think about delighting ourselves in the Lord and receiving our heart's desire, when I think about that, the New Testament verses that come to mind are from John 15 about the vine and the branches. Just, we have to read them, don't we? Look, come on, quick. I know we're probably running out of time, but are we okay? This is again, these whole four or five chapters of John are just amazing. Absolutely incredible. I could live all year in these chapters. What Jesus said before he was taken away. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Want to be pruned this year? Want to be more fruitful? Prune us, Lord. You are already clean or pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So you see that it's about abiding in God, resting in God, being in God, delighting yourself in God, trusting, depending on God, like a branch plugged in to the vital sap that flows from the healthy root. That is Christ, the vine. And we bear fruit. Abide in him. Do what he says. Love one another. Listen to him. Love one another. And you will receive whatever you ask for, whatever you desire. It's a promise. It's the same promise. It's just phrased different. Abide in me. Love each other. Come on, I want to see this church loving each other. You do, I know, you've already grown in that. But there's more for this year, guys. More for this year. Be outrageous in your love towards one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. You know, it's Sandy Miller who said, about, who's talking about church growth, and he said, people come to different churches for all kinds of reasons. They'll come, but they'll stay for only one. And that's if they find love. Come on. There's some beautiful people in this place. Some people that make me smile every time I see their face, every time I think of them. They make me smile, make me want to be part of the community. Let's expand that this year. Let's love outrageously. See what God will do. And the promise is, he'll give us whatever we ask, our heart's desire. So, I'm going to finish. But, you know, we talk about this time of year, making New Year's resolutions. Some of you may have already failed to keep the ones you made. I gave up making New Year's resolutions. But, you know, to reflect and think about the year ahead is a good thing. Because if we're honest, we all get caught up in the business of life. We allow the pressures that come in, the demands on our time from work, from family, from home, from responsibilities. We allow all those things to crowd in upon us and we start reacting to things in sometimes unhealthy ways and we build sometimes unhealthy habits. And you know, we need to then take a step back and just say, okay, what do I like about my life? What am I happy with? What's really bringing me a lot of joy? Actually, what am I not so happy with? What do I want to change? It's a good time of year to do that. And it's a good time of year to actually resolve to do something which is going to make life better. And my plea for us this morning is to resolve to delight ourselves in God. whatever that may mean. I've mentioned two or three ways this morning that we can delight ourselves in the Lord. But whatever it means for you, I just want to say, let's resolve. Let's determine. Let's make a decision today to delight ourselves more this year in the Lord than any other year in the past. Because there's a promise on the back of it. There's a season of great blessing. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So let's take time out to listen to God. Let's build regular discipline in. It only takes a month of doing something every day to form a habit. We know that. Let's form a great habit of listening to our Father. He's always speaking. Let's tune our ears. Let's look on the face of Christ. Let's fall in love with Jesus again and listen to what he's got to say to us. Let's take time out to rest in the Lord. You know, let's give ourselves to meeting together, to gathering together, to being in the presence of God together, loving each other, loving everyone we meet. Let's make that a resolution to find those times to rest with God. And let's also take time to rejoice in Jerusalem, to rejoice in the presence of God, whatever that means for you as well. Rejoice in the church worldwide. Rejoice in what God is doing internationally, nationally. Let's rejoice in what God is doing in River. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice and throw ourselves into what God is doing. Not just be concerned with our own little world, our own little thing, but let's take a wider look and rejoice at where the kingdom's coming. And let's rejoice in his presence. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, as I've been speaking, I know that some people will have been stirred by the Holy Spirit and be wanting to respond, particularly to something I've said this morning, and about making a resolution, about delighting yourself in the Lord afresh, about committing to doing some of those things that maybe you stopped doing that you know you need to do, or just doing something that you have been doing, but actually do it with a new sense of wonder. And you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. And if you know that's you, I just want you to stand, because I want to pray over you. I want to prophesy over you.